It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. We dig back into music history to wish a happy birthday to Elvin Bishop, who turns 79 years old today. This is the best-known song from the Elvin Bishop Band. It went to number 3 in 1976. It's called Fooled Around and Fell in Love. But that voice you hear is not Elvin Bishop, my friends. That voice is Mickey Thomas. And if it sounds familiar, it's because he would then go on to become the lead singer for Starship. Nothing's going to stop us now. And Sarah and We Built This City, that's Mickey Thomas on vocals. He was the vocalist at that point for the Elvin Bishop Band. Elvin Bishop, though, the guitarist, is 79 years old today. Happy birthday, Elvin. Scott Bertram in for Steve. We're joined now by Tim Carney. Find him on Twitter, at TP Carney. He is the author of Alienated America. Also over with the Washington Examiner as well, where he's senior columnist. Tim, how are you? Have you emerged from quarantine? I know you were all alone for a while this past week or so.
Yeah, I was isolated in my basement, a little afraid that my wife and kids would not let me out. But thankfully, I found a spare key and I've escaped.
and they're still there, right? They didn't leave.
They didn't move, no. But yeah, now the coronavirus, because I'm vaccinated, I had a very light case, but then the isolation for 9 days was pretty unpleasant.
Yes. You can find the Washington Examiner at washingtonexaminer.com. And just recently, Tim, launching a new effort called Restoring America, a series of essays and some longer-term plans for this, too. Tell us what Restoring America is all about.
Well, so the idea is that, like, we normally, if you're engaged in the realm of politics, it's kind of a regular back and forth, a give and take. We want taxes to be lower. They want taxes to be higher. Maybe we'll have a debate over, in, you know, what our foreign policy should be. But that we detected that the problem was a bigger problem than that, that even those debates were becoming impossible. And it's not a simple fact of, you know, we hate each other, we've forgotten how to argue. It's that some basic principles have been either forgotten or just actively thrown out. The idea that patriotism is a good thing is something we used to not have to defend, and that there was debates over what is the way to be patriotic, or what is the difference between a healthy patriotism and an unhealthy nationalism. But now the idea that patriotism is good is thrown out. The idea that faith, freedom, and self-reliance, these are sort of the principles of the Restoring America Project, that those are good things. Like, we can't have a healthy debate, a healthy politics, if people decide actually faith is a bad thing and freedom is something to laugh at. So we laid out a series of principles and said, we're going to argue for these things that used to be like the starting point of political debates. We now have to argue for them. I said faith, equality rather than elitism, courage, mm-hmm. strength, and optimism, community and family, fairness and justice. Those are the principles, and we really have to argue for them. So we're doing that in essays. We brought in outside writers. We have me and Michael Barone and some other inside writers at the Examiner doing this, so that we can get back to the point where we can all, you know, disagree about what size HHS budget should be.
You said we haven't necessarily forgotten how to debate. Is it perhaps that the incentives have been changed, meaning the reward for calling someone a socialist, the reward for just saying Trump, 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 as Terry McAuliffe perhaps is doing now in Virginia, the rewards for that behavior are more than the rewards for having some sort of civilized dialogue debate?
Yeah, that's certainly right. And I mean, you're right that Terry McAuliffe might be doing the right thing politically in avoiding any substantive issue and just shouting Trump at the top of his lungs. And that if that's what our politics rewards, then that's a problem. And to some extent with politicians, that's always been true. My old boss was Bob Novak, and he said back in the day when the politicians used to actually debate policy in, you know, a debate, a senatorial debate, say, between two Senate candidates, he says, I'm not sure that they were doing the optimal thing to win. I think they didn't realize that they could do better by avoiding the substance. So among politicians, I don't think I have that much. They're going to follow what the rest of us do is sort of the way that I see it. And that in the media, in academia, in other realms that are supposed to be more engaged in debate and not just trying to win, it's been replaced by trying to win. Or what you're saying, it's almost like you gain points by busting somebody else for violating some new rule of the new ideology or the new religion even. And that is that's contrary to debate. But if you really press, you don't even have to really press. With some of these campus extremists, they say, look, when you say free speech, what you mean is you want to be in power. You want to have the right to deny my right to exist. And I reject that. And so we can't just say, well, the principles of this country is free speech and open debate and free exercise of religion, because the other side says we reject those principles. No, those are not the principles. The principles of the debate are different. So that's why we felt we had to do this. There can't be a debate if you don't start from the right principles.
Tim Carney from the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com. Restore America is the project. We only have about 45 seconds, Tim. You mentioned colleges, and I guess I want to ask, is there a part of this that is growing up from under, meaning coming from the college campuses and the way that students are accustomed to being treated there or spoken to there or spoken about there, that is creeping into our general society?
That's exactly right. And you probably remember 10 years ago, you'd get our conservative friends, maybe even you and me, would chuckle looking at these colleges and be like, oh, they're going to be in for a rude awakening when they enter the real world. It turned out we were the ones who
were woken up
very rudely. Yes.
Yes.
So I do think it's that college environment, the protected world where nobody challenges them. They now are setting the rules in the real world.
Find Tim Carney on Twitter at TP Carney and also at the Washington Examiner for Restoring America. Tim, thanks for joining us.